You're listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcast worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. This top-ranked business talk radio show features the obstacles and challenges that are common to business everywhere around the world. Most importantly, you'll connect with thousands of success stories on how business people overcame these hurdles on their road to success. For any business owner in our listening audience who's facing a particular problem or challenge that you've not been able to solve, you might be concerned about your future, or you're just not satisfied with the financial results in your company. Reach out to us here on the broadcast at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. We'll be happy to put you in touch with hundreds of resources that you may not have been aware are available to your business today, many of which are free. For those of you needing a professional level of assistance in your organization, many of the hosts on the broadcast also coach business owners outside of the show. We have visited with thousands of business people, seen their struggles and challenges, and their solutions to these problems. We have a clue what's working and what's not. So please don't hesitate to reach out to us today at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Stay tuned. The Business Forum Show is next. Is that the best you can do? Think about where you used this question last, and you'll probably say you were car shopping. Hi, I'm Kevin Hunter. As host of the Business Forum Show, I've heard countless stories of success and thousands of tragedies of failure. As I looked at the mental obstacles we put in our pathways by default, I thought about this question. Is that the best you can do? Why not ask it of ourselves? Wouldn't it change everything if we did? The answer is yes, so I wrote the book titled, Is That the Best You Can Do? I drew from the many experiences I've had with people who are clearly not doing their best, and of course, those who were. The difference lies in the mindset and the tactics. Is that the best you can do? It teaches you how to find success by design instead of failure by default. Is that the best you can do? Visit our Facebook page, Is That the Best You Can Do? And then find it on Kindle on Amazon and start changing your life today. I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening. Welcome back to the Business Forum Show. I'm Kevin Hunter with Dave Ford and our guest in studio with us today, Chet Borger from United Family Mortgage. Welcome to the show, Chet.
Thanks, Kevin. Nice to be here.
Well, the first thing I'd like to have you do is talk a little bit about what you do as a mortgage specialist, because a lot of people understand kind of, you know, what a mortgage person might be and what you do, but talk about that process, because when it actually comes down to the nuts and bolts of what that all entails, people actually aren't that familiar as much as they think. So,
especially in today's market, what's really changed over the last couple of years, and I hear this more so from people who've bought a house in the past and have come to us now and want to buy another home,
mm-hmm.
The process has changed very dramatically in such that they don't even really recognize the process. People that bought before maybe didn't have to bring in documents, didn't mm-hmm. have to, you know, verify their income, different things like that. And the comment we get from a lot of second and third time buyers that haven't bought recently is, wow, I didn't know that the process was so involved. So it is a lot more involved today than it was 4 or 5 years ago as far as just documentation and underwriting. The process takes a lot longer today because of all the changes in regulations. We're required as brokers, bankers, whoever's in the mortgage industry, state requires that we actually prove that the borrower has the ability to repay that loan that we're giving them. Something that necessarily in the past wasn't done when you weren't verifying income, you were just going off a credit score and moving forward, you were just basing it on a lot of, you know, just hypotheticals, whereas today it's a lot more documentation, hard facts, and the process therefore is different today, takes a little longer to get underwritten.
Sure. So let's talk about that documentation just a little bit. So when somebody goes out and, as an example, the smaller purchase, let's say a vehicle, if they have really good credit, they're not going to likely even need a pay stub or anything like that. If they have a driver's license, mm-hmm. some proof of whatever their work, you know, history is, so they might have a small application to fill out. And then obviously the insurance on the vehicle. So as far as documentation beyond generally a one-page application, they might have a driver's license and proof of insurance requirement. Obviously buying a house is a much bigger purchase, and there's a lot more involved in that. Talk a little bit about
what types of documentation people should expect to provide to be ready for mortgage consideration.
It's funny you bring up the example of the car purchase, because I do work with a lot of people who want to buy investment property, for example. And investment property in this area, especially the Northwest Metro, you could still get some pretty good deals, $60,000, $70,000 properties that somebody's going to buy and rent out.
Mm-hmm.
For an investor to come in and give us all of his documentation, we get the comment a lot, well, you know, I bought a $60,000 Suburban at the car dealership by just basically showing up and signing an application.
Exactly.
What they will need to bring us typically is the last 2 years of their federal income tax returns. If they're self-employed, they would need a Schedule C, or if they're incorporated, they would bring in their corporate returns.
Mm-hmm.
The last 30 days of pay stubs, verifying that they're, you know, where they're working, what their income is. At least 2 months worth of bank statements, checking, savings. They would need a current retirement account statement. And then anything that where they might have some bumps in the roads as far as divorce, bankruptcies, foreclosures in their past, we would need to get that documentation as well to make sure that those things are all, you know, where they need to be in the timelines have expired for bankruptcy, foreclosure, things like that.
Mm-hmm. So if you would then talk a little bit about the mortgage approval process, like what then are the next steps? And let's say if somebody is in a dire housing situation, they're thinking, well, may, you know, should I be renting next month or buying next month? Let's talk about that, that time frame of when they actually go through to the approval process. And there's a few other questions I have for you beyond that. But let's talk first about what's the time frame involved from somebody seeing you today to when they could get this pre-approval document and start house shopping. Let's get into that a little bit.
The actual pre-approval, once I meet with somebody and they've brought me everything that I mentioned previously, the tax returns, the pay stubs, the bank statements, and a lot of times there's people aren't as well prepared as they should be in that initial step. But let's say they bring all of that in, we get the application. As far as a pre-approval, we can run an automated pre-approval through Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac's site within 24 hours. So they would have a pretty legitimate pre-approval within 24 hours, knowing that, I can go out and shop. Now, the actual approval process, once they find that house and we send a file into a lender for underwriting, we typically would like about 30 days to get that done. So if you come in today and over the weekend you say, Chet, I bought a house, you know, here's the purchase agreement, what do I need to bring in? They bring me all my documentation. We'd probably be looking at roughly 30 days from today with a comfortable close. We can do it quicker, but in today's environment, 30 days is pretty typical.
Now, what some people are unfortunately unaware of is that that approval process, from what I understand, you do that up front, but don't you also take a second look at everything prior to closing? And the reason why I even mention this is I've been aware, at least in a few cases, where somebody went through a pre-approval process, then went out and bought a car or did whatever in the meantime, come around to wanting to close in their house and find out there's a problem.
Yep.
So talk about that.
That has happened. We've tried to do a better job up front initially with the borrower. We actually have a document that they will sign that in, you know, big bold print, please do not go out and open up a, you know, Cabela's card or a Kohl's card, you know, especially during the holidays where you get a 15% discount if you just open up an account with them. I had that situation happen to me this past year. Very qualified borrower who during the holiday season, the husband went out, opened up a Cabela's card to get a discount for during Christmas. During the process, the mortgage lender will pull their credit within a number of days prior to closing to verify that they haven't purchased another car or something like that to, mm-hmm. that might, and that came up, so we had to scramble. He had to get proof that he didn't owe anything on his Cabela's, and so it can muddle the process at the end. So they, even though you are approved, let's say today, there are things you can do between now and your closing date that might affect that approval. Surprisingly, some people have thought, well, if I switch employment, that shouldn't make a difference. If I lose my job, I don't need to tell my lender. Those things will be found out before closing. So it doesn't mean that, yeah, if you're approved today and you're closing in September, there's still things you can do along the way that might jeopardize that approval.
Go ahead, Dave.
That's all true, and it really boils down to where most people get into trouble, whether it's in business, in buying houses, whatever it is not understanding the process, not asking the right questions, not asking enough questions.
Mm-hmm.
You got an expert. You got to ask the expert what you're supposed to do, and then that's what you do, not, well, let's go do this and let's go do this, and we won't worry about it. And mm-hmm. then what they want to do is they want to blame the mortgage company for not telling them, well, it's not my fault I did that. You didn't tell me I didn't have to. And it's the whole thing. It's the same thing with in general with businesses. They don't ask the right questions, so they don't make the right decisions.
And a lot of people are maybe a little intimidated up front. They don't necessarily want to volunteer all the information to you. There might be things that they don't think are important or will impact the process. Lenders do a lot of the behind-the-scenes checking now through various sources, and they will find certain things out. Number one, if you own other properties, a lot of people think, well, I don't owe anything on that lake home. Why do I need to tell you about it? Well, that can cause problems down the road if that lender finds out, well, you own a nice property up north. What are the taxes on that? What are the insurance on that?
Sure.
Different things like that can come up down the road where, you know, the borrower may not have thought that they needed even to tell us that. So it is a matter of asking the right questions, being informed, getting it all done up front, yes.
Without question. You've been doing this since 1985, Chet. You've been involved in the banking and mortgage business. I have to believe that you've seen a lot of changes. Talk about that.
The biggest change has happened in the last couple of years. Things have kind of settled down a little bit the last year with all there for a while it was month after month, different documentations, we can do this, we can't do that. The biggest changes were the dramatic decrease in property values around 2006. And really, that was the first time, at least in my lifetime, where real estate actually depreciated in value. It was always something where at least you'd see a 1 to 2 to 3% appreciation rate for real estate.
Mm-hmm.
When that started to happen, it took lenders a little while to kind of react to what should they do with a decreasing rate or a decreasing property value environment. It had never happened to that extent. And it took them a while to catch up. And then I think they almost did too much to try to correct that right away. And that's where the housing industry really was just dead. There was, you know, there were people that owed substantially more on their house than the house is worth. They couldn't sell, which caused, you know, if you can't sell your house, you can't go buy a house, can't refinance, you know, rates dropped. So they did come out with some programs over the last couple of years to help those homeowners who are underwater on their mortgages. I think we have seen the market stabilize with some increased values now because there is limited inventory, especially in certain pockets of our area and other areas around the country. But the biggest changes have been certain regulations, the process, the mortgage process itself, and what that's done is really slowed things down a little bit, but I think it was needed change to help, you know, the qualified borrowers get into the homes that they can afford.
Mm-hmm. Well, I recall when you said that there was a time things were a lot different. I remember, and this was probably around 2005, 2006, I actually remember a banker taking a look at a housing project that I was actually a partner in a large firm, and had come out and taken a look at the project, and he had said basically that if somebody could fog a mirror these days, they could just about get a loan, which that probably wasn't the best thing in the world. Kevin Hunter with Dave Ford and Chet Borger back in a moment. You've been listening to the Business Forum Show, broadcasting worldwide on Blog Talk Radio, Liberated Syndication, iTunes, and multiple media channels connected to the TBFS radio network. If you have any questions or comments for our staff, please reach out to us at info@thebusinessforumshow.com. On behalf of David Ford, Jeff O'Brien, and the TBFS radio staff, I'm Kevin Hunter. Thanks for listening.